At the end of our sermon series, we asked two simple questions. Where have we been? And what comes next? Where have we been? We've journeyed with this man, Elijah, through fierce confrontation with King Ahab and quiet survival. God fed him by ravens and also sustained him through a widow's unending jar of oil and flour. God answered his prayer with fire from heaven on Mount Carmel and then revived his exhausted soul underneath a broom tree. Last week, God spoke to Elijah at the mouth of a cave, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in a still, small voice. And you know what? God still speaks to us today. We only have to incline our ear to hear him. So what comes next? Next week, of course, we have our 75th celebration, and we'll discuss God's great faithfulness to this congregation, and all of us, really. And then after that, a study on Philippians. Let's bow our head in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, descend on us like a dove, we pray. Open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear you, our hearts to receive you, our hands to serve you, and open up our feet that we may follow in the Master's footsteps. In Christ alone, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. It can be found on pages 518 to 519 in your pew Bible. Hear these words. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elijah said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elijah and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master today?" "Yes, I know," Elijah replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elijah. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elijah and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took the cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elijah replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly, a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Jane, for reading that. It's an incredible passage of scripture, isn't it? You know, we're all familiar with the term passing the torch. Passing the torch. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it signifies a deliberate, peaceful transfer of leadership from one generation to the next. We see it in business all the time when a founder of a company hands executive leadership to a successor, or in public life when a veteran official steps aside so a new person with new ideas can lead. The idiom traces back to ancient Greek torch races where runners sprinted in stages, passing a burning flame from runner to runner. The goal wasn't just individual speed. It was keeping the flame alive. Did you catch that? To keep the flame alive until they reached the final destination. And we preserve this in the Olympic torch relay. And this is a picture from the Olympics that were held here in the United States in Atlanta, 1996. One runner carries the lit torch through miles of roadway before passing the flame to a fresh runner who carries it into the Olympic Stadium to light the cauldron. Back in 1996, millions watched an aging Muhammad Ali hold the torch high in Atlanta, igniting a flame that lit the sky for the world to see. Now in 2 Kings, God's prophetic flame needed to keep burning in Israel. Elijah's leg of the race was drawing to a close, and the time had come for a defining moment, passing that torch of faith from Elijah to Elisha. We first met Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19, when the Lord instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha as his successor. Their names are real close, aren't they? You can almost stumble over them. Elijah, Elisha. They sound a lot alike. And what they have in common is El, or Elohim. The name of God is built right into their name. Elijah means the Lord is God. And Elisha means God is my salvation. As 2 Kings 2 opens up, Elijah's departure is close at hand. But Elisha is not ready to say goodbye. He clings tightly to his mentor. Three distinct times, not once, not twice, but three times, Elijah urges his disciple, stay behind while I press on. From Gilgal to Bethel, onward to Jerusalem, or Jericho rather, and finally down to the Jordan River. Each time Elisha fires back with the exact same unyielding oath, as surely as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will stick with you like glue. Along the way, guilds of local prophets approach Elisha, asking him a rather obvious question. Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Elisha snaps back, yes, I know, so be quiet. In other words, I'm well aware, so zip shut your mouths. He shields a wholly painful transition from empty chatter. He's well aware that the torch is about to change hands, but he simply cannot bear to watch his mentor's leg of the race come to an end. When they finally arrive at the banks of the Jordan River, Elijah takes off his prophetic cloak, rolls it up, and strikes the river. He doesn't just touch the river, he strikes it with authority. And what happens? The waters part. They open up like the Red Sea. Some of the water on the left, some of the water on the right, so Elijah and Elisha can walk through on dry ground without getting their sandals even a little bit muddy. Amazingly, the water divided and they crossed on dry ground. This was a direct echo of Moses, Elijah's predecessor, parting the Red Sea. Elisha demonstrated a fierce reluctance to leave his master's side. And they used to have a saying for that. In ancient Jewish tradition, disciples were encouraged to be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Isn't that an interesting expression? Get covered with dust. The dust of your rabbi. In other words, follow your teacher so closely, literally, that when his sandals kick up the dust from the road, it'll settle on your clothes. Elisha had walked in Elijah's dust for years now. He'd absorbed his wisdom, his boldness, and also his faith. Yet as the final moments drew near, Elisha resisted the forced separation. He just wasn't ready for that fiery chariot. He wasn't ready to take up the torch. So what about us? Are we ready? If we're honest with ourselves, we're rarely ready to see our leaders go either. This text inevitably brings to mind the famous African-American spiritual written in the 1800s by Wallace Willis. It was inspired by the departure of Elijah. Maybe you've heard of it. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. And then he looked over Jordan. What did he see? Coming for to carry me home? A band of angels coming after me. Now the chariot swings low, but letting go is hard. It's difficult to do. When God sends angels to carry home a godly mentor, a parent, or a pastor, we plead for just a little more time. Just one more year. Just one more month. Just one more week. Just one more day. We know the scripture says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But human nature, we really prefer the giving to the taking. Commentator Dale Davis highlights the deep anxiety surrounding Elijah's departure. Young prophets were asking themselves, how can the ministry survive without Elijah? Who will carry the torch now? Davis offers a crucial reminder. Our help is in the name of the Lord, not in the charisma of his servants. Human leaders will inevitably change, but God's power remains. Sometimes God removes his most prominent servants so that we don't transform them into idols, as if they were the only light switch to light up our house. As the old seminary truth goes, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Consider Ted Pollack, known in his church as Christ's Globetrotter. Ted completed 91 international church building projects across a dozen countries, passing away at the ripe old age of 95 with his work boots practically still on. Ted used to say, God's work, done God's way, never lacks for funds. Ted exemplified mercy and industry and valued diversity. But when he departed, his congregation naturally wondered, who could ever fill those large shoes? Who will rise up to carry the flame? churches experience this type of anxiety during pastoral transitions. Over in our narthex hang pictures of 11 pastors, multiple chapters of our congregational history. But what about the spaces in between? What about those vulnerable seasons of transition when one pastor leaves and another has yet to arrive? When Pastor Stephen left our congregation to plant a church over in Brockport, anxiety was natural. Yet while you waited, God provided not one, not two, but three preaching elders to preach, teach, lead, and encourage. They kept the lamp of faith burning bright. Leaders passed the torch, but our God, He is the eternal flame. The God of light never leaves His people in the dark. When a leader departs, God activates a successor. As one Bible scholar notes, a great leader goes, but God raises up another one, affirming His promise never to abandon His people. Now, on the other side of the Jordan River, Elijah turns to his disciple and asks him, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Great question. One final wish before he departs. Elisha doesn't ask for comfort. He doesn't ask for fame. He makes a bold request. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Not a single portion, but allow me to inherit a double portion of your spirit. Sounds greedy, doesn't it? Sounds greedy, but it wasn't. Scholars agree that in ancient Israelite law, specifically Deuteronomy 21, the double portion was the precise inheritance belonging to the firstborn son. The legal heir responsible for carrying on the family estate and ministry. Elisha was not asking to be twice as great as Elijah. He was asking to be recognized as Elijah's legitimate spiritual heir. He was asking for genuine spiritual authority to carry the prophetic torch forward. Elijah answers, "You know what? You have asked a difficult thing. Yet, if you see me, if you lay eyes on me when I'm going up to heaven, when I'm taken up from you, it'll be yours." Without question, the right to grant that wish of the double spirit belonged entirely to God, not to man. Suddenly, heaven breaks into earth, a chariot of fire and horses of fire swoop down, separating the two men. Elijah ascends into heaven in a whirlwind. Meanwhile, Elisha is down on earth, witnessing the event, crying out in grief, tearing up his clothes in two. His tears were real. His mourning is appropriate because his mentor and friend is now departing away from him to be with God. So Elisha looks down. He looks down at his feet, and laying in the dust is Elijah's cloak, what some people call his mantle. Elisha picks up the mantle, walks down to the edge of the Jordan River, and strikes the water, asking, "Where now? Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" It's a great question. Will Elijah's God be Elisha's God? Will the same strength and mighty power be alive and at work in Elisha as it was in Elijah? Will that get passed down? Instantly, the waters part to the right and the left, and Elisha walks across on dry ground. Watching from the opposite bank, the company of prophets declare in a single voice, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." The transfer had taken place. The double portion request, it was granted. Not by Elijah, but by Elijah's God. The spirit of Elijah now rests on Elisha. Elijah parted the waters like a second Moses. Now Elisha parts the Jordan like Moses' successor, Joshua. The mantle is passed. The flame is transferred. The work of God carries on without missing a single beat. Elijah's ascension into heaven points directly to a far greater ascension. For those of you that have been in church for a few decades, you could probably guess where I'm going with this. For those that can't guess, look at the picture. The ascension of Jesus. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, Jesus, like Elijah, is also taken up into heaven. Before he ascended, Jesus commanded his followers, "Don't panic, but wait. Wait in the city of Jerusalem. Wait in the holy city." Wait for what? Wait for the gift from God. Wait for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And just 10 days after Jesus ascended, they would all gather in one place for the celebration of Pentecost, and the Spirit came in power. The Spirit arrived in a mighty way with rushing wind and tongues of fire, flames resting on every believer. Now, fire in the scripture is a symbol of God's presence and God's power. The flame of chariots, the flame of horses that carried Elijah up into heaven is the same Spirit that ignited the early church to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Today, the same Spirit empowers us to pick up that torch and run our leg of the race. So we seek the spiritual gifts. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, "Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." Did you hear that? Excel in those gifts that are profitable. Excel in those gifts that are profitable for the building up of the body of believers. One person who built up the church was Ted Pollack. Let's return to the story of Ted, Christ's globetrotter. Now, Ted always said that when God's chariot came down for him, he'd be ready to go. He'd be ready whenever God came to take him. He meant it, not just because he knew the Bible, but because he knew that he had faithfully raised his kids to walk in Christ's footsteps and had mentored countless others in their own transformational mission. In other words, he had become a mentor by passing on his torch of knowledge and passion to other disciples of Christ. So know this, people of God, it's important to engage in intentional mentorship. Consider adopting the Paul, Barnabas, Timothy model. A mature Paul pouring into us, an equal Barnabas encouraging us, and a younger Timothy into whom we pour out our faith. In this way, we prioritize nurture for the next generation. As Carrie Mitchell writes, "How have our mentors nurtured us? And whom are we actively nurturing today? Part of healthy spiritual discipline is discipling other people so they are prepared to pick up our mantle when our race is run." In God's kingdom, every ending contains the seed of a new beginning. When God transitions our leaders, he gives us grace, the grace that we need to press ahead. During our congregation's two-year wait, following Pastor Stephen's departure, God preserved this church. God always preserves his church. And when he answered, he gave a double portion, not just one pastor, but two. Rose and I are deeply honored to serve alongside you. But human leaders will come and go. But the God of Elijah, Elisha, and the early disciples remains forever. May we faithfully pass the torch, from one generation to the next, so that the light of Christ continues to shine brightly in our church, in our community, and in our world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people together say, let's pray. O Lord, God of Elijah, God of Elisha, our God, we thank you for the faithful mentors who ran their leg of the race before us and passed down the legacy of your gospel to us. When transitions come and leaders change, steady our hearts with the assurance that your presence and your power will never fail. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us today. Give us courage to pick up the mantle, to step forward in faith, and to raise up the next generation of believers. May the flame of your burning love shine brightly in our hearts, in our congregation, and also in our community for generations to come. In the precious, powerful name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.